Well, this evening we'll continue our look at the Heidelberg Catechism, and we're in that section of discussing where our deliverance is found. It's found in our God. Focus is on our God, and that is the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We look this evening at Lord's Day 9 that speaks to us, focuses our attention on our confession, a comforting confession that we find God the Father as ours in Jesus Christ. So we'll be taking a look at Lord's Day 9 in just a second, which is on page 16 in the back of the hymn book. We'll confess that portion there together in just a moment. But before we do that, I'd like us to turn to the Word of the Lord and look to Luke 12, verses 22 to 34. Luke 12, 22 to 34. Take a look at that portion of God's word then right now from Luke 12, 22 to 34. And he said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, they neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies. How they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy, provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, and a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." We've read from the Lord's Word. Let's take a moment to respond to that and make a very comforting confession that we find in Lord's Day 9, question and answer 26. If you'd answer the question, here's the question: what do you believe when you say, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth"? That the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who out of nothing created heaven and earth and everything in them, who still upholds and rules them by his eternal counsel and providence, is my God and Father because of Christ his Son. I trust him so much that I do not doubt he will provide whatever I need for body and soul, and he will turn to my good whatever adversity he sends me in this sad world. He is able to do this because he is Almighty God. He desires to do this because he is a faithful Father. If you'd join with me for a moment, we can ask that the Lord might guide us in his word and his truths in this time that we have together this evening. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that we might be encouraged in this portion of your word and in the confession that we make in light of it, and that your Spirit might be at work in us to such an extent that we might be filled with him who brings and uses his word to encourage his own. May we receive good news tonight. And may we receive it in faith so that we might, Lord, live our lives with hope and love to which you've called us. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and King, in whose name we pray. Amen. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, many of us have heard or read of the kind of effects that worry can have on us or other people. The impact that it can have, like a contagious disease even. We hear about how worry can cause digestive problems, eating disorders, rapid breathing and twitching and sweating and shaking and heart rates to rise and difficulty even in swallowing, breakdowns in people's immune systems, difficulty fighting off sickness that may come one's way. Well, our worries not only have their consequences physically, of course, we also understand through the word that our worry is a sinful response rather than a faithful confession to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who knows what we need. This evening, we want to take a look at the comforting confession of God the Father. That might be a word that our boys and girls can keep track of, just how many times we hear about God the Father. And maybe also God the Son. And also hearing words like need or worry. Keep an eye on that, or keep a close ear on that, boys and girls, as we go through the sermon, because I'm sure those are going to be words you're going to hear a lot of. Father, the Son, worry, and needs. Keep those things in mind. We do want to look at that confession, a very comforting one that we just made. We want to pray that it'll be a balm to us spiritually as we're encouraged to remember that what makes our confession of God the Father Almighty so comforting is his relationship to us and his provision to us, of course, only in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father. So we're going to take a look, first of all, at the comfort of God the Father's relationship to us, or when we've come to know that relationship, in the confession that we make of God the Father. The comfort is that God the Father Almighty has a loving relationship to the believer, but the basis of that comfort and the relationship is first of all seen in the fact that the God, the eternal Father, the God the Father Almighty that we confess, is first of all the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That primary relationship is what truly makes a confession of God the Father Almighty a comforting one. And the reason that this is, the reason that this is what makes our confession of God the Father Almighty a comforting one, is because the bond that the Father has with the Son is unfathomably deep and rich. It's what we confess, that the God and the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is my God and Father because of Christ his Son. But it's that bond between the Father and the Son that's really key to the comfort that we know. You know, the New Testament speaks often about, especially in the epistles, we hear about how about the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a relationship that God the Father has with God the Son that's from everlasting to everlasting. It's the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ who becomes ours. It's the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ that is the Father that we profess. His love for the Son is perfect, it's beyond measure, and it even transcends time. That's the God and Father we profess. We cannot plumb the depths of that love that the Father has for His Son. That's key. That's key. We miss out on how deeply the Father loves His own if we bypass His love for the Son. We fail to see the depths of His love for His own as that which is first of all expressed in the love He has for His Son. We fail to see that depths of His love that way if we bypass that love. The Father always loves the Son. He loves the Son eternally, and He loves what the Son has done temporally in restoring and reconciling and redeeming and saving and fulfilling everything, including those whom God has chosen in Christ. And we mustn't miss that idea as we confess the Father as the one whom we trust. Because when we do that in profession or in practice, we do miss something. Certainly we should not be surprised that in our sin we will find ourselves otherwise to be chronic worriers. Because the confession that we make, after all, is that the eternal God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, loved eternally and loved temporally by the Father, is my God and Father. See, it's not just, first of all, that God the Creator is my God. Now, and that is truly, and it's true, but the eternal Father of Christ is my God and Father. Now, God the Father loves His creation, but He loves His Son even more. And if that's the God and Father who loves us also, then we're most comforted indeed. And really, that's why Jesus would say, don't worry about your life. And that's the only way, after all, that we can say that we need not worry about our life. Because the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is my God and Father through Jesus Christ. That's the Father Jesus talks about. When you don't know that God the Father is yours through Jesus Christ, that's when there's reason to worry. When you don't know that you're a child of God who loves you like God loves the Son, then you have reason to worry. Because then, yes, you are a spiritual orphan in the world. And worse yet, you're a child not of God, but of His wrath. And then there's reason to worry. Not everybody, after all, is a child of the Father, because not everybody knows the Father and the Son whom He sent. You know, it's a remarkable thing that there are many people in life who live carefree lives, and you wonder how they can do it. And they're not necessarily believers. That's who I'm talking about. They're not. And you wonder how they can live so carefree. At least it seems that they live like that. Many people can live like they haven't a care in the world, and that's enviable sometimes. But it's not as enviable as it may seem. Some people who are carefree simply don't care. They don't care about things. That's not living a worry-free life. That's living a careless life. There are plenty of Christians who struggle because they care about things. Now, of course, there's a danger that care doesn't turn to worry, and it doesn't take much to have that tip to that side of things, but it's one thing to worry, and it's another thing to care. And so when we care about our children, or we care about our parents, or we care about the wayward, or we care about the world, or when we care about the Lord's honor, that can cause us grief and suffering and pain and hardship and tears. And why is that? It's because we care. We care because we love, and because we love our God, who loved us first. And the world can't appreciate that. But the sin of worry loses sight of the love that the Father has for his own in Christ. A love that is as deep as his love for his Son. A love that's so deep that he gave his Son. And a love for his Son that is given to his own in Christ. It's remarkably an eternal love from before the foundation of the world. It is a love that's realized in the coming of Christ. It is a love that's been applied by the Spirit of Christ. But worry loses sight of that love. How much more valuable are you to God than birds? You're loved by God the Father like he loves his Son. Eternally and temporally in Jesus Christ. Now we realize the Son's relationship to the Father is natural, we say, while ours is adopted. But the love is no less when we're in Christ. And that's really the antidote to our worry. The comfort of confessing God, the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, as ours in Jesus Christ. Which is what makes knowing Christ and believing in him and relying on him so essential. That's an antidote to our worry, that and his provision to us, his relationship to us, his provision to us. In our passage, we hear that the Father provides. Your Father knows that you need the things that the nations of the world seek. Our passage says that our priority is not to seek after those things, not to run after those things, but to run after, to seek God's kingdom. Here again, we miss so often the antidote to worry because we want to switch the priority. We want to say, you know what? God's not really the priority here. God's not really the focus. It's my need. It's what I want. Instead of confessing Christ or serving Christ, instead of trusting Christ, we get bogged down in our worry. And it's not far from that that we start questioning whether God really cares about us or not. And what we forget is the greatest love he ever showed us. We lose perspective. We worry. We really forget a great deal when we worry. One thing we forget is how God the Father provides what we need. Our passage says that the Father knows that you need food and drink and everything else that you need. The Father knows what you need. Often when we question whether God is giving what we need, we fail often to see that He's already done it. Because often it's not what we need that's lacking, but what we want. What we think we need is often what we want. We want an answer now. We want what we asked for now. We want what we didn't get, not realizing at times that God has already given what we needed, and that what we need is to seek God's kingdom, and that we need to be seeking God's kingdom with what He's already given to us. See, when we worry, we often forget that God has already given us the most that He can give us. In our practice, we can sometimes act as if God, as if Christ wasn't the greatest gift that God the Father gave us or can give us. There's nothing that God can give us that's greater than Jesus Christ Himself. There is no greater gift on earth or in heaven. So when we're facing whatever we're facing, we have to be careful that we don't look at Christ as if somehow, you know, He's something that's secondary, useless, valueless, worthless for the moment. Maybe later on, but not now. Because you see, if we're looking for the sign of God's love in our lives, we have to look to Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith. There is no greater sign of His love for us if we're worried that somehow God's love has escaped us. Where He tends to lose vision, both heavenly and eternally. We mentioned the heavenly element. Look to Christ as your greatest gift and sign of God's love for you. But also remember, and we all have to do that, what has been promised to you, that the chasing after the world cannot provide. The passage says, don't be afraid, little flock, because the Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. When we're in the middle of what we face, the evils that are sent our way, not outside the bounds, mind you, of the Father's sovereign and inscrutable care, mind you, worry thinks these trials will never end and that nothing good will come of it. The comfort of confessing the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ tells us otherwise. So it keeps seeking the kingdom, knowing that the kingdom belongs to it. It's a vision in Jesus Christ that in this world we may have trouble, but we are to take heart that Jesus Christ has overcome the world and He has glorious plans for us. Now, Catechism speaks about this existence as a sad world, or the old translation being a veil of tears. Now that can seem somber, but in comparison to the glories that awaits, it's a sober reality. We do live on this side of glory, and we await the time that our faith will become sight. We see wars and strife and disasters and diseases. We see heartaches and impoverishments and hardships. And we know when we take a good look, sometimes we don't have to look very far, it's not easy to grow old. And we see that often. And what the world tries to do to solve that problem is by chasing after stuff. And it tries to party away its problems like whistling in the graveyard without seeing that the greatest worry of all is living and dying without a confession of God the Father as theirs in Christ. And so it lives for today without care about eternity. That's not worry-free. It's care-free. It doesn't care. It seeks its own kingdom. And it often doesn't realize how such a seeking is the greatest worry of all. As it cares nothing about Christ, and therefore knows nothing of the Father's boundless care. See, what God the Father provides for his people is whatever they need. And whatever adversity he'll send, he'll turn to their good. Now, this is a sad world compared to glory, but in faith, we have comfort in it when we know and when we remember that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is our God and Father, and that he provides for me with that in mind always. In our sin and our worry, we so often need to be reminded of what God is willing and able to do for us as our Father in heaven. And that is something we certainly confess, isn't it? That he's able to do what he does for us because he's Almighty God. He's willing to do what he does for us because he's a faithful Father. It's partly why the Lord gives us his word. And again, we're reminded of that, isn't it? That, aren't we, that the scriptures are given to our encouragement so we might have hope. Isaiah 40 says, "Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Haven't you heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He doesn't faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." That kind of provision for today and promise for tomorrow changes us. And it changes us from worrying so much about what we want and need and what we want to get to being a people who are more worried about what we can give of ourselves to God and to others, and the callings he's given us. As we store up things that way, that'll never lose their value, as our passage says. The more we appreciate what God provides and promises, the more we know what is most precious. And the more that we know what is most precious, the less we worry. Our profession of God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ as our God and Father is a most practical profession for us. In a day and an age where we're worried about the future, politically, economically, relationally, there's peace to be found, peace to be had. And it comes from a deep-rooted knowledge that not only others, but also for people like you and me, we can say in faith that we're children of the Father who deeply loves the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who saved me and therefore loves me deeply as well. Saving me, providing for me as a willing and able Father for both time and for eternity. When we know that Father is ours, we have a comforting reason not to worry. And that is good news for our lives. Amen. What a marvelous God that you are, Heavenly Father. A love for your Son that is beyond tracing out for mere creatures such as we. We marvel at how you're able to uphold all things after having created them all, that everything is under your counsel and care. We marvel even more so that the kind of love that you have for your Son is a love that we can know when we find ourselves in Jesus Christ, who reconciles us to Him, to you. And that's a marvelous love. So much so that we can make the confession that you'll provide whatever we need for body and soul, turn to our good, whatever adversity comes our way in this sad world. Because you're able to do it, and you desire to do it. As the Almighty God that you are, and faithful Father that you are to us in Jesus. And we thank you that that's good news for us. So much so that we can live at peace. We can know the peace that passes all understanding. And we can focus where our focus needs to be. Not on what you've promised already to give, so that we worry about whether we'll get it. But rather we can focus on your kingdom. Callings to trust you, our callings to rely on you, our callings to serve you through your Son, our Savior. Lord, help us all the more to see how precious that relationship is that we have with you, so that the more we focus on that precious reality, the less we'll find ourselves worrying in this life. May you hear us as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.